Okay. Chapter 12, in review, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but of the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and of the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity to gather. And Lord, it is our prayer that you would be glorified by it today. Every aspect of our gathering, Lord, just the fact that we have gathered, that we've come together as your kids, Lord, to worship. And our worship continues now as we go through the word, Lord, that our worship would be a sweet, sweet incense to you. Lord, as you receive our praise and our gratitude and our thanks, as we reflect on those things, as has been said and prayed already this morning, that you came down among us and died for us. So Lord, as we read your word today, would you illuminate it to us, Lord? Give us understanding. Would you speak the things into our heart that were written on these pages by your Holy Spirit? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in 1 Corinthians 12. The book that we went through previous to this was the book of Romans. And if you remember, when we were in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul admonished Christians, encouraged Christians not to fight, not to have disputes, not to have divisions. Specifically, he said, don't divide over doubtful things. And in Romans chapter 14, verse 1, he says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. A little further down in that same chapter, he writes, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and for the things by which one may edify another. What does pursue mean? Go after it. Yeah. So when we're trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing in this world, the scriptures say, go after this. Go after the things that make peace and the things by which one may edify. Help me out, what's that? Build up, strengthen one another. Those are the things that we're supposed to be pursuing and we're supposed to be going after. Now, I mentioned we're kind of tackling this big section of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. And the issues that we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks, even though they're biblical issues and they're on these pages and they're in the scriptures, they're subjects that have historically divided the church, divided different churches. In the Calvary Chapel Distinctives book, we went through that together as a church recently, but you remember that was originally written as a field manual for church planting pastors in the early days of our movement. And in that, Pastor Chuck wrote this, and I'm just going to quote. It says, an important characteristic of Calvary Chapel fellowships is our desire not to divide God's people over non-essential issues. This is not to say that we do not have strong convictions. When the Bible speaks clearly, we must as well, but on other issues, we try to recognize the scriptural validity of both sides of a debate and avoid excluding or favoring those in one camp over the other. What in the world is he talking about there? it has to be politics, right? Or COVID, or vaccines, maybe. Don't divide. Or do we now root for the Patriots or for Tampa Bay? Doubtful things, you know, things that aren't doctrine. Pastor Chuck must have been talking about something like that, right? Let's read on a little bit. An example of this kind of inclusiveness is found in our approach to the debatable issue concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Come on, Pastor Chuck, that doesn't sound very Calvary Chapel to me, right? We teach verse by verse. We know this book. We're the ones that have everything right. And then he says, we don't take a typical Pentecostal view, nor do we take a typical Baptist view. The minute you set your position one way or another, you've lost half your congregation. Why would you want to lose half your congregation? Our desire is to be able to minister to as broad a group of people as possible. The minute that we start taking hard-line positions on any non-foundational controversial issues, we alienate part of the people. In the essential doctrines of faith, we must take a firm stand. But in the non-essential areas, we accept that people may have differing views, and we accept these in the spirit of grace. It is important to recognize we can agree to disagree and still maintain a spirit of unity and love. I know it's a stretch for Stoic Mainers, but could you possibly give that an amen? Unity through diversity in the body. Pastor Chuck says in that we don't take a typical Pentecostal view, nor do we take a typical Baptist view to Calvary Chapel churches as a whole are largely respected for taking a balanced view concerning the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. So much so that we're often described as being Bapticostal or something to that effect. Way more charismatic than the Baptists are comfortable with, and way more Baptists than the Pentecostals are comfortable with. But we don't take a middle-of-the-road position just for the sake of finding peace in the middle. Any middle-of-the-road position concerning your faith is not where we should be if it's just for the sake of peacekeeping, if it's not biblical. So, like I said, as we go through these chapters, we want to look at not trying to fit our theology into what we read. You know, not coming at it with everything that we already believe and trying to find that in the text. Remember the example of being on that nice warm island off the Pacific coast somewhere, and the Lord gives you a Bible in your native tongue. What conclusions would you come to just reading the Bible? And as we read through it, what does it say? What does it mean? And then what conclusions would you come to if that's all that you had? If you were just reading the scriptures. So we read through part of our chapter, what we did last week, and Paul does something interesting in the rest of chapter 12. That's where we're going to pick up this morning. But he's building off something that he started in verse 7, if you look at that with me. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So Paul starts to compare the idea of each one of us Christians being given unique gifts that all work together for the common good of the church. Paul breaks down an example, I think, that we can relate to by comparing the various body parts and how each of those body parts, how each of our parts work together for the good of the whole. Pretty obvious examples when you think about critical parts to the body would be our brains. Right, everything inside of us is connected to our brains. The head tells the body what to do. The body can't do anything if you separate the head from the body, right? So the brain is a critical part. What about our hearts? You guys know the heart beats over 100,000 times every single day? That's about 35 million times a year. You guys know that? I didn't know that. I had to look that up. But the system The heart is amazing, but the system that supports the heart is equally amazing. There's veins and there's arteries and there's capillaries. The biggest artery in your body is your aorta, and that's about the size of a garden hose. And then from there, there's capillaries, and some of our capillaries are so small that it would take 10 of them to make up the size of a human hair. Isn't that incredible? And that system moves blood through your body every single day, the equivalent of 12,000 miles. That's Maine to California and back twice. That's how blood travels inside of our body every single day. You know what else I found out this week? Really important part of our body. The MCP joint, right here at the base of your index finger. Extremely important. Wednesday night, we had some snow, you guys will remember. And when I got home Wednesday night, it was dark out. And I went to hook up my snowplow on the front of my truck. You guys with the new rigs and the new trucks won't understand this. I've got one of the old ones, the 10-minute mount plow. 10-minute mount, if it's like perfect and it's level and it's jacked up in a heated garage, then it's 10 minutes, you know. But in my driveway, it's sloped and it's crooked and it's not level. So I pull in close with my truck and get up next to it, and then I run around in front of the plow, and my plan is to push that thing up onto the frame. And it's freezing rain, if you guys remember. So it's all slippery. And I grab a hold of that top frame, and I push, and my arms go like this. Everything except for this finger slipped under there and went the opposite way. And I realized, wow, I've got a MCP joint that I never knew that I had. And then some of the guys here during the week stopped in, and they'd see me, and they'd go to shake my hand and see me go, and laugh at me about my MCP joint. Tiny, tiny member of my body, but when that member of my body suffered, my whole body suffered with it. Yesterday was Christmas Day, and I know, I don't know how many of you guys know, something incredible happened yesterday, besides the incarnation, besides what we celebrate on that day. But Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, you guys can read on in the chapter, get ahead while I'm rambling. Incredible athlete. He broke Brett Favre's all-time touchdown passing record in franchise history for the Green Bay Packers yesterday. Incredible athlete. Aaron is actually known as being tough. But then during the game, if you guys watched in the first half, somebody stepped on his foot. And it aggravated an injury that he had to his pinky toe. And then they were talking about how he's been working through this injury for a number of games to his pinky toe. That little toe at the end that's not even big enough to grow a whole toenail. When was the last time you guys thought about your pinky toe? He actually left the game early in the first half to go get it tended to. I mean, he came back and he won. But when's the last time you thought about your pinky toe? I bet Aaron Rodgers thought about his this morning. You know, and he was walking around like he had lost his knee or something. The pain, how it radiates and affects the entire body. We have funny ways of thinking about that certain parts or pieces of our bodies are more important than others. The pancreas, so overlooked, until you get pancreatitis. Or your gallbladder, right? Everybody point to your gallbladder. Some of you got it. Yeah, it's not in your head. We don't know where it is. Paul's making a point here about the value of each one of you as Christians. Each one of you is a part of the body of Christ, how we need each other in each other's lives. So let's check it out in verse 12. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And just for clarity, when Paul says in verse 13, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, he's not talking about water baptism there. That, like, when we get baptized, that's our initiation into the Christian club, or that's the sign that we've been accepted. He's talking about that when we get saved, at that moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit comes into you, and you, and you. That it's the Holy Spirit that joins the Jew, and the Greek, and the Baptist, and the Pentecostal, and the Presbyterian, and the Methodist, the Nazarene, and those of us in Calvary Chapel. All that have been saved are linked together, just like DNA in our body links together every piece and part and cell. They share that common existence. Christians share the Holy Spirit as we're baptized into the body of Christ, as he indwells us and connects us all together. So Paul is saying, that's a fact, guys. That's really what it is. It's not something that we're to strive for or try to shoot for unity, but we're all baptized into this family by the Holy Spirit. In verse 14, he says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And that applies to us in a couple of different ways. First, as I mentioned earlier, Calvary Chapel is not the only part of the body of Christ. We know that. But also us individually aren't all the same member, right? There's not 100 hearts walking around inside this church, or 50 of us that are the mouth walking around in here. Seems more like 80 or 90, you know. Excuse me, that wasn't a pause for effect. But we do have a tendency to look at what the Holy Spirit has willed to bless us with, the gift that the Holy Spirit has given us to be used to build up or to edify the body. And we start thinking that everyone else should be doing what the Lord has supernaturally gifted us to do. If you've got the gift of evangelism, you might think, why doesn't everybody else share their faith like I do? You know, I try to pass out 10 tracts a day, or I try to have at least 5 conversations with strangers about Jesus every single day, and it's hard not to have 50 conversations like that a day. I mean, are these people even Christians that they don't share their faith like I do? Or, I can't believe this church has trouble finding people to open up their homes to do growth groups. You know, if I have the gift of hospitality, I might think like that. You know, why doesn't everybody else? That's why God gave you a home, right? So open it up to share it with the world. Or, I just love spending time with the children in this church. I can't believe that they still have that slide up during announcements asking for volunteers. It's so refreshing to spend time with the little children back there. The rest of these grown-ups are so self-focused. None of us really think like that, right? Look at our gift and impose it on others, maybe sometimes. When we go through this, it says that gifts are something that we supernaturally receive and then feels quite natural for us to operate in them because God's given them to us so that we'll use them for the benefit of others. You guys might not fully know what your gift is yet. You know, as you're hearing these things and I'm saying everybody's got at least one gift, you may be sitting there thinking, I don't know what mine is yet. You know, a great place to start is, what has the Lord given you a love for? You know, what has he impressed on your heart, and what are your passions? The scripture says that he writes his will on our heart, and that may be a good place to start. The other thing is, what do you notice? You know, what gets under your skin? If you notice stuff like, man, it really bugs me that they have flies and their light sometimes here. And if that like distracts you, then it might be, actually this morning, in prayer meeting this morning, a guy came in with a little can of lubricant that he got in his stocking yesterday because he heard that door squeak last week. And so the things that you notice and stand out to you, you know, you might have the gift of helps and to come alongside and to serve in that way. And that may be a place to start. We are all different by necessity. Verse 15 says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Paul's saying it would be ridiculous for a member of the body, a part that helps to make up the whole, felt like it wasn't part of the body. Felt like if just because you're a foot, you're not the whole thing, or because it wasn't a hand, or not the heart, or the head. Just as ridiculous for me to look at you or to look at someone else and exclude them because we don't appreciate your gift, or we don't recognize your gift, or because your gift is different than mine. We all know that we are a little bit different, right? That's kind of why we fit here. Amen. That's right. Diversity, those differences should never divide us. Diversity is what God has designed to unite us together. So we should see each of us, as you look around this room and you know that God has uniquely gifted us, we should be able to look at each other as the parts that we're missing, you know, that Dan does something totally different and unique from me. And Tyler's got gifts that I could never do in the natural. You know, the Lord would have to supernaturally equip me to do those things, but he hasn't because there's Tyler. We should be grateful for those differences among us. We should look and say, oh, there's the hands. We need the hands. Or there's the heart. We need those hearts. You know, that woman has a heart in this church. What a blessing. And those three ears over there, they have the gift of being intercessory prayer warriors. How amazing is that? How much do we need that? And I want all of those gifts being used in the church. I want all those church gifts being used to benefit all of us, to benefit me. You know, there's tons of those gifts that I personally don't have, and that's why we need one another. You know, we may look and think, well, I can do this or I can do that, but I am totally uncomfortable with having people come into my home. You know, I don't know how people like Nick and Jody can do that, open up their home or open up their property and allow us to have a church picnic every year. You know, some of you may be embarrassed or uncomfortable or different things about opening up your home, and the Lord has specifically gifted others in that. There should be unity in the body because of our diversity. Verse 18 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, check that out, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? I want you to see that, though. God has set the members, every single one of you, just as he pleased. And I think he might know better than us. And not only that, but if you're a hand and I'm the foot, and you're a hand and I'm a foot because God decided that's the way it's going to be, and that makes God happier, that pleases God, then I've got nothing to brag about that I'm the foot. You know, or there's no room for pride in us, any of us, for the gift of teaching or for this gift or that gift as if it was something that we did, as something that the Lord has willed because it pleased the Lord. And you had nothing to do with it, that God chose you for that. It was given to you. by the Lord. So you're just like the rich guy's son, you know, that inherited this thing. The gift fell in your lap. You know what else is cool about that, though? Is that God has set the members, and he was pleased with it. And that leaves no room for pride, but it also leaves no room for shame. Right? There's no shame that you don't have a certain gift, or God chose somebody else to be the heart or the head, because God specifically chose you to exercise and walk in the gift that he's given you. There's no shame in being the pinky toe. You know, Aaron Rodgers this morning can't stop thinking about that pinky toe. And he wants us to stop hurting so the whole body can get back to doing what it's supposed to be doing. So the pinky toes and the gallbladders and all of that are just as essential parts of the body for the body to work as it's supposed to work. Verse 21 says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and to our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it." The head can't say, I do all the thinking, the whole system functions at my command, I don't need you feet. We're pretty dependent on our feet. You know, all of us used our feet this morning. I never realized how much I used this joint. You know, you can't zip your pants without that joint. It's critical, the things that you don't think of every day, how these parts work together. Until we, like, stub our toe. Or get plantar fasciitis. How many of you guys know what that is? If you know what that is, you know what that is. Right? And you study it and realize it attaches from your foot to your Achilles, and your calf affects it, and your hips actually affect it. Everything is connected. You may feel that your gift isn't recognized, or your gift isn't appreciated. But look what that says. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Let God give you honor for that gift, not man. Don't look for recognition. Look for appreciation here, and I hope we get to a better place with that moving forward. But let God give you honor for the gift that he's given you specifically to bless others. You know, to do that, you've got to start walking in that gift and exercising that gift. Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. There's so much wisdom in what Paul's teaching here. He's not just the mean old grumpy church founding pastor here saying, do this because I said so. Right? I'm the head of this church, and do these things out of obedience. That's not the heart of Paul at all. He had apostolic authority. He could have done that. But he's saying, I want you guys to understand these things. I want you to know how they work. Remember, he started this chapter saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I want you to know about this stuff. I want you to know how they all work together, how God designed us all differently to build us all up together as his church. Being in the member of the body, all of us were to care about every other part of the body and to look out for the body as a whole. I heard Pastor David Gudzik, I don't know how many of you guys know who he is, but I listened to him teaching on this passage one time, and he said that, do you know what we call a part of the body that feeds itself and has no regard for other members of the body as a whole? He said, we call that cancer. We call that cancer in our own bodies. And he made that example relative to the physical body, but I think there's spiritual application to that as well, when our only concern is ourselves. Verse 27 says, "Now you are the body, and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." So just going through that list, apostles are special ambassadors to the church. The foundation of the church has already been laid, so I don't think that there's apostles in the same way today or with the same authority as like Peter and Paul. But I do think there's guys still present and active in the church today that are special ambassadors in the church today. Probably not any that have taken that title upon themselves, you know, or call themselves apostles. But somebody like Billy Graham, you know, or maybe Greg Laurie, the guys that call themselves apostles so-and-so, they most of them seem kind of nuts to me. So, but we do see this special ambassador, that role still in the church. A prophet is in that list. A prophet's one that's gifted to speak forth for God to mankind. Certainly there was a foundational element to that gift as well with the apostles, but I do believe that God still uses prophecy today. It's a gift active in the church today. Again, probably not from one that calls themselves a prophet, prophet so-and-so. If there's anyone ever standing up here that calls themselves apostle or prophet, you can feel free to use the side exits, you know. Find a better church. You should. You guys know what the Old Testament standard was for a prophet? Because I think that's what they should apply to the guys that call themselves prophets today. Accuracy percentage. So in that game yesterday, there was 3 interceptions thrown in the first half. The accuracy percentage was really low. What was the accuracy percentage required in the Old Testament for a prophet? 100%. Anything less and you were put to death. Teachers, I think that's pretty obvious to us all. What that gift is. After that, workers of miracles, miracles that God does and uses men and women as he chooses to in that, not, you know, I'm Brian and I have the gift of miracles to operate at my will. All of these gifts operate at his will. The gift of healing, again, we can be the recipient of healing, or God can choose to heal someone else and use us by praying for them. We're laying hands on them. James actually writes about that in James chapter 5. He says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." And this can certainly apply to physical healing, but it can also apply to spiritual healing. And this is where that supernatural gift of faith can also go hand in hand with that. That gift of faith, that mountain-moving faith. And it's not necessarily, as I said last week, not necessarily the faith of the one that's sick. Sometimes it takes that supernatural gift of faith for us to allow God to use us in healing. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the guts to try. Verse 28. Thanks. "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." Again, helps. I love and appreciate, I mentioned it this morning, the people with the gift of helps. They may hold no office in the church, but they're the ones that come alongside, like Aaron and her lifting up the arms of Moses. There are men and women in this church that come alongside the elders and the pastors and the teachers, and they help them in the work of the ministry. They're like the perfect utility players. The Babe Ruths and the Pete Roses in the church. You guys don't know who they are, do you? Man. Probably none of you are old. Some of you are old enough to know where they are. Or you've heard of them, right? You guys have taken history in school. Okay. Babe Ruth, before he started making like the world's best candy bar, he was actually a Red Sox. He was a baseball player for the Red Sox. Okay, when he got to be an old man, he played for the Yankees for a little while. But he was a pitcher, and he played all positions in the outfield, and he was a major slugger. You know, it was kind of the wherever you need him, put him there. Pete Rose, you guys don't know about Pete Rose. Probably the bad stuff. First baseman, batted left-handed and right-handed. Actually, if you look at his stats in the later part of his career, it just says infield and outfield. Like, wherever they needed him, throw him out there. He could do it. That's kind of somebody with the gift of helps in the church. Oh, I see this needs to be done, or I see that needs to be done, or would it be helpful? I love it when I hear that. Would it be helpful if I did this? Usually it's, you know what you should do? You know what you're not doing? But that idea of, would it be helpful if I did this for you, or if I did that, or could I do that? I love that gift, the people that have that and exercise that gift. Administrators. You know, you've got your planners, your dreamers, your five-year plan people, and then you've got the administrators, those that make all the parts work together, getting it done step by step. I actually love watching my wife plan a project. Every detail is planned out of that. Every contingency covered when she does that. Huge, huge blessing. We need that gift, those gifts that benefit the whole body. And then varieties of tongues. Again, much more when we get to chapter 14 on that. I don't want to get too far ahead of us, but we'll talk about the proper use of tongues. We'll talk about Paul speaking in tongues and speaking in unknown tongues, tongues of men, tongues of angels. Any language, when I'm speaking right now, any language is an agreement, right, between people on what certain sounds or words mean. If I say dog, all of you guys know and understand what I'm talking about when I say dog, right? Okay, thank you. Too much cake yesterday? We agree what certain sounds mean. And tongues is an agreed upon language between you and the Lord. Again, when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking not to man, but to God. And it's agreed upon that God perfectly understands everything that is being said, and you don't. Now, that's what Paul's talking about when he said, I pray with understanding and I pray without understanding. We'll get into that much further when we get to chapter 14. I'll skip that. Verse 29. He starts here going through kind of these rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet show, and I show you a more excellent way. Verse 30, Paul is talking about Paul's clear meaning. I think, remember, if we're on that island and we're reading through this and we read these rhetorical questions and I'm reading my Bible by myself, the logical conclusion that I come up with is that the gifts are all different. You know, no, Paul, as I'm reading that, no, Paul, we don't all have the gift of healing. No, Paul, tongues isn't meant for every single believer. And it bugs me when some corners of the church teach that everyone receives the gift of tongues, that tongues is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we'll see as we get into the next chapter that love is the evidence of that. Love is the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. And I think so much damage has been done in the church, Again, no room for pride in a gift that we've received, and no room for shame for a gift that we haven't received if it's been received by the Lord. And I think a lot of damage has been done, sadly, by people that, for the most part, believe that all these gifts still exist, with the expectation that everyone will, or the necessity of people wanting to fake it to prove to themselves or to prove to somebody else that they have a gift. I'll save that for chapter 14. Again, verse 31 says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." And when we get into next week, chapter 13, the love chapter, we'll learn a whole lot more about that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, again for our time in the Word. And Lord, these things, I don't know how often we've thought about these things. Or maybe we've just kind of set it aside, Lord, and neglected these things. Or have become, as Paul said, ignorant concerning these things because of either a lack of teaching, Lord, or a lack of comfort, or a lack of perceived need, Lord. But your word, just a simple reading through this, you tell us that we're all different and all of these parts are necessary for us to function in a way that pleases you. So, Lord, would you, again, give us understanding of these things as we go through them and reveal your application to our lives individually and to us as a church. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.